Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Trusting in God's everlasting grace, let us come confessing our sin and separation from God. Let us come seeking God's grace as we pray together, first in silence and then praying together our prayer in the bulletin. God, we come before you as one body. We know that our life in Christ binds us together, yet we confess that we are selfish and single-minded at times. Help us to hear your voice and to use the gifts you have given us to proclaim Christ's name to the world. Cleanse our sins and help us to be honest to one another and to you that we might serve you better. Come, Holy Spirit, breathe forgiveness on us, correct us, strengthen us, use us in your love. In Christ we pray. Amen. Let us continue in a spirit of confession as we sing together, "Humble Thyself in the Sight of the Lord," number 2131, as we remain seated. The promise of God is for us and for all people, that God so loved the world that God came to save the world through Jesus Christ, that the world might be saved through him. Friends, believe this great promise of forgiveness. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. This is the time in our worship service where we share joys and concerns of the community and our world together. We invite you to bring your prayers today, and Gladys will meet you with the microphone. Please hold in your prayers in these days, Lee Vanderbon and Monica as well. Lee had chest pains this week and is awaiting bypass surgery at UMass Worcester. So if any of you are headed to UMass Worcester area this week, let me know, because Lee would very much appreciate visitors as he awaits for this surgery. Other joys and concerns this morning.
Although he will die of embarrassment, I'm happy to say Michael Duff turned 10 years old this week on Thursday.
Mark and I would just like to ask for your prayers for JoJo. This Thursday is court, and we're not sure what to expect. Joseph's birth father has shown signs in the last couple months that maybe being a single parent is a bit much, but the message from the state is that that's where Joseph is headed, so we just pray for him to be protected. Thank you.
I'd like to thank you all for your prayers and praise God that Arthur, Brooke's father, is doing very well after his carotid artery surgery to clean it out. And he's resting, and Brooke is there.
What else? Just ask prayers for my aunt's mom, who's struggling with her third bout of cancer. Her name's Jean. And just prayers for my school. There's some administrative things going on, and it's been very stressful. So just prayers for us as we go through the end of the school year and ending on a good note, and rejuvenation over the summer.
I have two prayers. One is for George. George is going to be having his kidney removed. He's got renal cancer, and this will be on June 14th. And the next is for his niece Donna, who's only in her 40s, is fighting lung cancer, and she's too far advanced for having anything but chemotherapy. And so I really feel bad for George's sister right now, who's got a lot going on in her life. So I just pray for his family right now and for us. Thank you.
I'd like to ask for some prayers for my sister, Sherry, who unfortunately is back in the hospital again, and this latest episode of her illness has resulted in her losing most of the use of her right arm, which is a very scary development for her. So prayers for her, for my family, my mom especially, this is really hard on her, and for her doctors as they try to figure out a course of treatment.
Tomorrow, I'm going to be 5.
Right. Happy birthday. And what's your name?
Ben.
Okay.
I'd like continued prayers for Walter and Junior and Edith. But also, I will be going to Albany on Friday and Saturday for a meeting of the Synod Council, and I ask your prayers for the decisions that we made there.
I'd like to continued prayers for my brother Jim down in Pennsylvania. He's finally seen the light. This is a joy. He doesn't exercise, and I love to exercise, but he is now going to cardiac rehab, and he can't wait to tell me all about the machines.
Cute. Any more? Okay, that's about it.
Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, come, enter our lives, free us from all fear. Give us strength to carry on in these days. We pray that you would give your world hope and joy sufficient for each day. We pray for your world, for needs of hope and justice, for refugees and the homeless, for countries seeking peace and new life and hope. Particularly, we lift up Syria and Egypt in these days. For all those who have sacrificed for those values to be real. We pray, O Lord, for our community, for those in our midst who need special healing in this time, for the work of our synod and Judy's work there, for the Sage School in moving forward and finishing out this year with strength and vision. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Give power to be the church. Impart your many gifts to your members that we may be the body of Christ's presence in the world. Free us from all fear and renew our life together. We pray that you would continue to make us witnesses in your community as we prepare to gather to make a difference through RIOP and in our schools. We pray, Lord, this week for the Weber family in Joseph's court case, for the work that you have been doing there, for the future yet unknown. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Bind us together in your spirit as we rejoice in your joys of Michael's 10th birthday, of Ben's birthday tomorrow, of healing through Arthur's surgery, and Jim's renewed energy for rehab. Heal your people, O God, of wounds and disease, seen and unseen. Bring hope and strength to the journeys. We pray for Lee and Monica, for Judy and Tom, for Jean, for George, for George's niece, for Sherry, and for all those who walk with them in these days and care for them so deeply. Come, Holy Spirit, come, that all may be one in Christ, the source of all true unity, who is with us today and always, even to the end of time. In Christ we pray and invite all of us to pray in whatever language we feel led, familiar in these days. Our Father.
نشكرك يا رب يا يسوع على هذا اليوم نشكرك يا رب لأن أنت معانا يا إلهنا الحي لأن الصلوات ترفع يا رب كبخور صاعدة هللويا مجدا لاسمك هللويا مجدا للحمل رفعت الصلوات يا رب لمجد اسمك يا رب بهذا اليوم يا رب انتشر روحك على كل الناس يا رب وكل واحد قام يحكي بلغة يا رب يا رب بركاتك علينا يا رب أنا أصلي من أجل لي ومونيكا يا رب أنه تباركهم تحفظهم يا رب بأزمتهم يا يسوع أصلي يا رب من أجل أمي أنه تأخذ إقامة وتبقى معاي هوني أصلي يا رب أنه تحرسنا أنه تبارك يا رب تبارك يا رب ناس الكنيسة يا رب يا يسوع أنه تباركهم يا إلهنا الحي على محبتهم يا رب لأن أنت معاهم يا إلهنا الحي باركهم يا يسوع وسدد كل احتياج بارك كل عيد ميلاد يا رب بارك حياتهم يا إلهنا الحي وخليهم يكونون سبب بركة لكثيرين من الناس يا إلهنا الحي يا إلهنا الصالح مجدا لاسمك مجدا لاسمك يا رب نشكرك يا رب على هذا اليوم نشكرك يا رب لأن أنت معانا تحرسنا وترعانا نرفع صلاتنا باسمك القدوس المبارك آمين
The children are invited forward to present the story of Pentecost this morning.
Thank you. Before Jesus went to heaven, he visited his followers and friends and promised them a gift. He told them to stay in the city where they were until God's gift of the Holy Spirit came to them. He told them, when this gift comes, you'll be filled with power and you'll tell everyone to the end of the earth about me. So they waited together and they prayed together. They waited and they prayed. And finally, on one day of the holy celebration called Pentecost, suddenly there was a noise like a mighty wind. Then the building began to shake. Then they saw what looked like flames of fire which spread out all over the people's heads. Now people from all over the world had come to the city for the holiday of Pentecost. When they heard all the noise, they came to see what was going on. What did they hear? Each one heard about God's amazing deeds, and they heard in their own languages. They were amazed. Then Peter explained to them who Jesus was. Can you guess how many believed in Jesus that day? 300,000. And they ate together, and they prayed together, and they worked together and had fun together. Then they went and told more people who Jesus was.
Our children are excused to go to their classes in this time to continue learning more about the Pentecost story. Our middle school class is meeting upstairs, I believe, this morning. Yes, I see a nod from the back. And our hymn of preparation is Let Every Christian Pray, number 130 in the Presbyterian hymnal.
Thank you. letters. I'm very happy this morning to be with you. And I firstly thank God for giving me this opportunity for me to be with you this morning. And I thank all the congregation, all the pastors, all the presbyters for this great opportunity. May God richly bless you. As the word is coming, I would like each of everyone to stand on our feet. And my name is Reverend Edmond Awati. That's my personal introduction. And Miss Gladys, my aunt, God richly bless you for giving me this opportunity. Let us all stand on our feet and pray before the word of the Lord comes. Let us pray. Lord our God, who has given thy word to be a lamp into our feet and a light into our path, grant us to receive thy truth in faith and love, that by it we may be prepared unto every good word and work, to the glory of thy name, through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our personal Savior. Amen. Please be seated. As we all know, today is a very great day. Today is the day of Pentecost. Today is a God's special visitation unto mankind. And as I have a very short time, I want each of everyone to listen to me very carefully. We know today is a Pentecost day, the coming of the Holy Spirit, as we all know. But I'm going to emphasize on two or three other things. We all know the story of the day of Pentecost. We keep on celebrating every year. But how can the Holy Spirit affect our Christian life? And what are the important role of the Holy Spirit? And what can we also benefit from the Spirit of God? And how can we receive the Spirit of God? And who is the Spirit of God? Who is the Holy Spirit? So I'll just give you the whole package. And I know the Lord will take absolute control. And you shall never be the same. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. As we all know, Pentecost is a special day, the coming of the Holy Spirit. The day of Pentecost was the second great festival of the Jewish year. And it was harvested festival when the first fruit of the grain harvested were presented to God. Are you getting me right? So this is a special day. Pentecost means 50. It symbolizes the church to the beginning of God harvested for souls in this world. Today is a Pentecost day. But one thing I want each of everyone to know, what is the main purpose of the coming of the Holy Spirit? Before you can receive something, You need to understand the whole thing clearly before you can receive it. You can never pray for something that you don't understand. So we must know the purpose of the coming of the Holy Spirit. So as let us turn our Bible to Acts chapter 2. I'll just read something briefly, then I'll go to the whole point. Today you will know who is the Holy Spirit, the role of the Holy Spirit in our life. What can the Holy Spirit do to us? Did we need the Holy Spirit? And who is the Holy Spirit? Let us turn our Bible to Acts chapter 2, verse 1. The Bible says, when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, from heaven, there was a sound like a rush of a violent wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as a fire prepared among them. And a tongue rested on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Spirit, with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Hello? This was a promise from Jesus Christ to his disciples. That he, Jesus, who asked the Father to give them the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God. So Jesus told them to gather at one place to pray and ask for the Holy Spirit. Because that time it was very, very serious. You know, Peter was an apostle, but there is fear within Peter. So it is difficult for the apostles to preach the gospel even to their enemies. So they need something extraordinary in their life to help them to achieve the purpose and the vision of Christ. So Christ told them, you can never do it with your power. You can never do it with your strength. You need the power from above. You need the anointing from above so that you may be able to reach out to the lost souls, to witness. So the main purpose of the coming of the Holy Spirit, to empower the church to witness the gospel effectively to the people. So you know what happened. This is the whole story. But I want to emphasize on one or two things. One, his personality. The Holy Spirit that we are talking about. Who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is God. Because in John chapter 4, verse 24, says God is a spirit. And his worshipers must worship him in spirit and truth. And without the Holy Spirit, you can never worship God effectively. Without the Holy Spirit, we can never love. Without the Holy Spirit, we can never forgive each other when somebody offends us. So each of everyone here need the Holy Spirit in his or her life right now. So the Holy Spirit is God. We have the God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They are all in one with different personalities. So, God, Holy Spirit is God. And what I want also to emphasize is that what is the role of the Holy Spirit? What role does the Holy Spirit play in our life? And if you read the Bible very carefully, through the Holy Spirit, this word was created. This word was created by the Holy Spirit. If you read Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 to 2, the Bible said God created heaven and earth, but still the word was with that form. Hello? Hello? You see the role of the Holy Spirit here? The Bible says God created heaven and earth, but still the word was without form. So the Bible said he sent his spirit hovering over the waters, and there was totally miracle. So this verse means describe both process of God using creation, the role of the Holy Spirit in creation. So through Holy Spirit, this word was created. Now, Holy Spirit is not just a force as people think. He is God. The role that Holy Spirit plays in our life. Jesus was born through the Holy Spirit. If you read Luke chapter 1, verse 34, the Bible says the angel appeared to Mary, and Mary said, "Oh, how can this be? The angel, since I'm a virgin, how can it be? How can I born the Savior? I'm a virgin. How can it be possible?" But the angel told Mary, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you." Hello? So through Holy Spirit, Jesus was born. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit is there already. And through the Holy Spirit, there is a confirmation that Jesus is the Son of God. So immediately we receive the Holy Spirit into our life, I'm telling you, people will begin to recognize you. The Bible said the Holy Spirit, Jesus was even confirmed. After the baptism of John the Baptist, he said, "Ho!" The Bible said the Holy Spirit descend as a dove. Sometimes he appears as a fire. He can appear as a wind. And he appears as a dove. So when the Holy Spirit appeared after the baptism, he said, "This is my beloved Son, who shall I please?" So through this, through the Holy Spirit, Jesus was recognized as the Son of the living God. I want you to Listen very carefully. Because if you don't know the role that the Holy Spirit plays in our life, you can never receive it. You need to receive it. The Bible says if you receive the Holy Spirit, it gives us power to understand. Not political power, but the power to love, power to forgive, power to witness the gospel effectively, power to understand the will and the purpose of God in your life. Without the Holy Spirit, you can never understand the will of God. Without the Holy Spirit, you can never love. Without the Holy Spirit, you'll be sitting with your wife in the same church, in the same house. You will come to church and watch and pray and sing and go back and start fighting again. Hello? Hello? But the Bible says when we receive the Holy Spirit, He is our teacher. He started teaching us. So each of everyone needs the Holy Spirit. And when we read the Bible truly, Jesus overcame the devil by the Holy Spirit. That's Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. The Bible says he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, into the desert, for he to be tempted. But the Bible says, they that have the Spirit of God, they that are led by the Spirit, are the children of God. Why? They that are led by the Spirit of God, by the Holy Ghost, are the children of God. If you are led by the Spirit of God, you will surely go according to the will and the purpose of God. The Lord is good. And I know today you'll be blessed. Say amen. Amen. The Bible says Jesus overcame the devil through the Holy Spirit. But the devil says, if you are a son of God, change this stone. Hello? You are so hungry. So please, change it. Jesus said, hey, go away. It is only not full alone. Because the Bible says he was led by the Spirit. So if we are led by the Spirit, I'm telling you, there will be trials, there will be tribulations, there will be problems. But I'm telling you, you will surely be the head, not the tail. The Lord will deliver you from all your affliction. If the Holy Spirit is in your life, things will begin to change. You need the Holy Spirit right now. You need it right now. You need that power to cancel so many diseases. You need that power to destroy the enemy. You need that power to pray. You need that power to say, yes, I am for the Lord, no matter what the situation. No matter what the doctors are saying, cancer, you are no more. Cancer, you don't have power over me. Because I have God that I accept. Bosakaya mama. Don't accept the negative. If you have the Spirit, it will empower you to overcome sickness and temptation. Also, Jesus told the disciples, wait upon the Spirit of God. And immediately it comes to you, immediately you receive it, he will give you the power over the devil to overcome sickness. Brothers in the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, Ezekiel was able to prophesy unto the dry bones. You need that power now to prophesy unto your life. You need that power to overcome temptations. You need that power to go out and bring souls into the kingdom of God. You need that power to forgive your wife. You need that power to forgive your husband. You need that power to love. Without the Holy Spirit, we can never love. Without the Holy Spirit, we can never forgive. Jesus said, when you receive that power, the Holy Spirit, it will give you power. You need it right now. My brother, you are more than the conqueror. There is something good in you. We are serving a living God. You need the Holy Spirit right now in your life. And without the Holy Spirit, we can love. You know it. Without the Holy Spirit, we can never forgive. You know? When you talk about love, I'm not talking about filial love. I'm talking about agape. Unconditional love. Because as I'm saying right now, there are so many people. We go to church. Hello? Hello? And you say, you have a honey, I love you. Oh, you are okay. Hello? You come to church. Hallelujah. Yeah, hallelujah. And immediately you left the church. What I say? What I say? What I try to say? Hey, if you play, I'll call 999-911. That's American National Anthem. Hello? But 999 will never solve that problem. What you need is the Holy Spirit to know how to love and to know how to be humble and to know how to respect your wife. Hello? So without the Holy Spirit, we can't love. And without the Holy Spirit, we can give our best unto the Lord. I'm telling you, that's the truth. Without the Holy Spirit, we can never give our best unto the Lord. And that is true. Most of Christians, you know, they will pray every day, God bless me. God bless me. God, I need a job. Immediately they get a job for them to pay their tithe. You know what they do? They'll get that money, about 2,000, 3,000, or 4,000 a month, and they'll just sit down, start calculating their bills, and even they will borrow their tithe. The time for them to pay that one, then they'll just take some $2, $3 and just put it in the envelope. Pastor, this is my tithe. Praise God. The Bible said there is a way that seems right unto man, but at the end, it leads into destruction. There is a way that seems right. Whatever you are doing, it is right for you. Hello? Hello? But it will lead into destruction. The day of Pentecost is the day of giving. Praise God. The people give back their first fruit unto the Lord, and God also give them the Holy Spirit. So that makes that day, Pentecost, special. So without the Holy Spirit, you can never give your best unto the Lord. We need to give to support the work of God. We need it. We need it. Without Christ, without the Holy Spirit, we can never give. If you are not a giver this morning, tell yourself, Holy Spirit, help me. Hello? Some people even don't know. If you pay your tithe, you're supposed to pay 20, maybe $100, and you pay $60, the Bible says the $40 that you take it out, you should, if you are coming again, you must pay interest of 5%. It is true, it is in the Bible. Without the Holy Spirit, we can never love. Without the Holy Spirit, we can never witness the good news. Praise God. Because there are a lot of people in our vicinity, our area, we need to talk to them. We need to preach to them. We need to invite them to this church. But sometimes you are afraid to go. Because if I approach them and just tell them, oh, let us go, you know, the answer will be negative. So you are afraid to go. But today, but right now, if you receive the power, it will give you boldness to witness even to your enemies. Praise God. Because without the Holy Spirit, we can never give. And without the Holy Spirit, we can never have peace. Without the Holy Spirit, we can never serve God. Without the Holy Spirit, as I'm saying, you can never have peace. You can only have peace if you have the peace of God. Praise God. We need the Holy Spirit right now. My sister, you need the Holy Spirit right now. The Bible says, when you receive it, it will give you the power. You see, sometimes somebody was like, oh, then pastor, how can I receive the Holy Spirit? How can I receive it? Praise God, it's indwelling. Hello? If you pray, the Bible says he will come and dwell in your heart. The Bible says he is our teacher. But somebody will say, how can we receive the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit, some people, if you go to so many churches, some say, oh, if you receive the Holy Spirit, automatically you must speak in tongues. That is not true. Hello? Are you getting me right? That is not true. Praise God. The Bible said they spoke different language. What type of language? And what did they say before those were able to give themselves to Jesus to be baptized? You know, the Holy Spirit has so many gifts. So it's not necessarily speaking in tongues that identify you that you have received the Holy Spirit. No. Hello? The Holy Spirit has, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 to 11, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of administration, but the same Spirit. The Spirit gives someone wisdom. So someone can speak in tongues. The Holy Spirit can give speaking in tongues to this, but he can also give a different thing to you. So if you are not able to speak in tongues, that don't necessarily mean the Holy Spirit is not upon your life. No! The Bible says it gives someone wisdom. It also gives someone faith. It gives someone healing. And it gives someone distinction between the Spirit. So all these are the gift of the Spirit. So we need it right now to build the kingdom. We need it right now to support the ministry. Everyone need the Spirit of God. The church can only experience the power of God when there is love. Praise God. And unity. The Holy Spirit, when you read John chapter 4, verse 26, the Bible says, when he comes, he will teach us all things. Praise God. He will teach us all things. So, my sister,
You need the Holy Spirit right now
in your life to help you, to teach you, to know how to talk, to know where not to talk, to know how to witness the gospel. And when we read 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4, a man without the Holy Spirit does not accept the things of God. Anyone without the Holy Spirit will never accept the things of God. We need it. I know you have it already, but we need to maintain it. Without the Holy Spirit, hallelujah, you will come to church, and when you go home, you will start beating your wife. Oh, yes, that is true. Yeah. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you will come to church and you will go out and start lying. Praise God. But the Bible says when we receive the Holy Spirit, it helps us to know the purpose of God concerning our life. Without the Holy Spirit, Bible says the Holy John chapter 6, verse 63, it gives life. Praise God. So you see the role of the Holy Spirit. It gives life. It teaches. So my sister, you need it right now. We need it in this church. We need it. Without the Spirit of God, there will be a disaster. And Romans chapter 8, verse 26, Bible says, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. When we are weak, when we are disappointed, when there's a disappointment in your life, the Bible says that when we receive the Spirit, it quickens you and helps you to fight against the devil. And the one thing is that the Bible says we should not grieve. At the same time, we can also grieve the Holy Spirit. Hello? And how can we grieve the Holy Spirit if it doesn't go according to the will of God and obedient to His word? Praise God. We can never experience the power of the Holy Ghost, of the Holy Spirit in our life. You need it right now. Jesus says something. It's a very dangerous statement. When I read that, that was Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 12, verse 31 to 32. He said, blaspheming and every sin will be forgiven. Even if you blaspheme against the Son of God, you will be forgiven. But if you blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, you will never, never, never be forgiven. Hello? Matthew chapter 31 and 32. You know what happened? When Peter received the anointing of the Holy Ghost, when he received the power, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit, the Bible says he was empowered. So one day, he told all the disciples, all the church members, everybody should go and sell his own property and bring it to the church for the development of the ministry. You know what happened? He went to Prophet Ananias. Hello? And Ananias, he was a prophet. He was a man of God. Without the Holy Spirit, this is how I can describe the whole thing. So when he sold his property, the best thing for him to send the money to the apostles' faith for the development of the ministry, you know what he did? Hello? He just took some of the money and asked her wife, Safira, come, let us take some of the money and send just small to Peter and the whole congregation so that we can depend on this one. So as a whole man of God,